The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
And joining us this week to place his reads on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf is journalist and author Mick Clifford. Good evening to you, Mick. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks, Ciara.
Obviously, as an author, I suspect that you read books with great interest. But your favourite book?
My favourite book is a book some people might have heard of, Going After Cacchiato, it's called. It's by an American writer called Tim O'Brien. Now, despite his name, and I looked into this years ago because I've read a lot of his books, I'm a big fan of his, he doesn't have any noticeable Irish context. If he does, it goes back two or three generations minimum. But he's kind of from the Midwest in America. He's primarily known as someone who wrote about the Vietnam War. He served in it himself, and he wrote some quite brilliant stuff about it, be very anti-war. And it's in that kind of canon, this Going After Cacchiato, it was a novel that came out of it. Now, the main gist of it is this guy called Cacchiato was one of a platoon in this American platoon who were in Vietnam. And the main character, Paul Berlin, is on night watch, and suddenly it emerges that Cacchiato has left. He's deserted, effectively, and he intends walking to Paris, to Gay Paris, as they call it, from literally Vietnam. And the platoon then get together, what's left of them, because a number of them have already been killed. They get together and march after Cacchiato. They see him in the distance. They see him further on. They think they're going to catch up with him. They don't. They come across all sorts of people. Paul Berlin meets a young Vietnamese woman and falls in love with her. They go right across Southeast Asia, into Asia, the Middle East, all the way to Paris. Now, that's the main thrust of the narrative. There are some major twists within it, but it's written brilliantly and there's a lot of humour and humanity in it. And what really comes true is his kind of disgust at war and the potential that has to impact on people.
Is it a little bit of a mixture of, it's a hell of a long walk, of reality and fantasy?
Yes, it is. Like I wouldn't want to spoil it for anyone, but it is. But the narrative of them traversing half the world effectively is so brilliantly told, you're actually there. Now, whether they're there or not, can see as the book goes on, but it's really, I find it brilliantly taught. He wrote another fantastic novel called In the Lake of the Woods, which is about a failed US senator who loses out in a presidential nomination, and him and his wife retire, and it emerges that what really did for his candidacy was a thing that arose as a result of post-traumatic stress disorder from a war. And it's a fantastic book as well. And he also wrote a book, a collection of stuff, The Things They Carried. So I find him brilliant writer. He hasn't written much in the last 15 years or more. He'd be getting on now.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, if he served himself in Vietnam, he must be an older man at this point.
He's in his 70s now, I would think, yeah. Which is not as old as it used to be. Not when you're...
No, it's not as old as... I think we all in this room, particularly Shane Coleman, could attest to that. It sounds like a very good read. Your current read?
My current read is Conversations with the Sea, with Hugo Hamilton. Now, I'd like to say I'm a discernible fiction reader and I peruse bookshelves until I found this, and I'd be lying. My wife came home there a few weeks ago from meeting a friend who had suggested this book, and she brought it home. I was between books at the time, so I commandeered it from her and I started reading it, and it's a great read. It's a really good read.
You mentioned fiction there. Do you read a lot of fiction? Because one of the things I'm always struck by on the bookshelf, because we interview people, male and female, obviously, about their favourite books, and men tend to read, gross generalisation here, much more non-fiction than women.
Yeah, and I'd have to say I'm the same. It just happens where I'm at the moment. Absolutely. And I prefer to read more fiction. But I don't know, you know, whatever it is, that kink in the imagination, I find it harder, particularly maybe as I get older, to stick with a fiction plot unless it really grabs me. I mean, I love crime fiction in particular, but yeah, I'd have to say I do read more non-fiction.
Tell us a little bit about what Conversations with the Sea is about.
Yeah, it's really well written again in the kind of sparse prose. And Hugo Hamilton, he's a really good writer. It's about a man who's, it sounds like kind of half German, which I think is Hamilton's own background. And his marriage is breaking up. He's married in Berlin with a daughter. He comes to the west of Ireland where he had his honeymoon with his now estranged wife, and he talks to the sea. Well, not more than that, but he does do a bit of talking to the sea about life, regrets, etc. And meanwhile, back in Berlin, he's in contact. His wife is being cancelled effectively for involvement in, he doesn't mention it explicitly, but it sounds like pro-Gaza protest. And his daughter is in trouble in a similar vein for her activity there. And meanwhile, he is encountered in the west of Ireland a family who sound like they're displaced from the Ukrainian war. And it's really interesting. He's brilliant at getting into the character and at portraying all these various strands. And the west of Ireland, he makes it sound brilliant. Like there's a bunch of surfers in the B&B he's staying in and they go out at night and everything. It's just, I have to say, it's really well done.
Are you drawn to books because obviously the first one was about, ostensibly about the Vietnam War, even though it obviously veered off a little bit, and this one touches on...
Ironically not, no. I know it sounds like that, and that's just, it's highly unusual.
I'm not
unusual.
Trying to pigeonhole
no,
you.
No, no.
I actually really like reading books about the Second World War, so I do think a lot of us... the extremes of war create very interesting plots and also very interesting characters.
Absolutely. Not at all. No, I did go through a period when I was younger about reading a lot about the Vietnam War, which I was fascinated by. I visited Vietnam 25, 30 years ago, you know. But apart from that, at that time, it heightened it. But there's just some brilliant American literature about the Vietnam War and everything, the human condition. But I kind of well past that, and it's a pure coincidence that this Hugo Hamilton thing involves those elements of modern day war, unfortunately, you know.
Yeah, one of my favourite books, which is not really about the Vietnam War either, is A Prayer for Own Meanie, which is, I don't know if you ever read it.
I did years ago. Yeah, great book. John Irving, great.
Yeah, long ago, but the backdrop of Vietnam,
exactly,
is filtered through the effects, I suppose, of people coming home from
completely
war.
And even in another vein, John Updike, some of his rabbit books, it's in the background, that's brilliantly rendered as well, you know.
You have a couple of honourable mentions as well, Mick.
I do. Eilish Ní Chaoimhne, somebody whose short stories I've read a number of them. She's a brilliant short story writer. She's pretty prominent. She's in Eastern or whatever, but she wrote a memoir, 12,000 Days. I think it's called A Memoir of Love and Loss, and it's about her own life. She met her husband in UCD. He was a Scandinavian. He was a folklorist. And just their life. And then very sad aspect of it that touches on current affairs to the extent that he was a good bit older than her and he got ill. And just his treatment in the hospital system when he went in there, it sounds pretty bad, like, you know, and it touches on that. So it's very... it's a fine piece of writing, I have to say. Really, really well done. She's a brilliant writer.
I have to say, Mick, before you came in, I hadn't seen your choices, and I said to Ciara, there'll definitely be something by Norman Mailer in there. Is there something from Norman Mailer
there
in
is
there?
There is, yeah, yeah. I have to say there is.
I know you're a huge fan.
He loves being right, Mick.
Yeah, no, there is. And ironically, though, it's one in which Norm got out of the way, because what he's murdered for is he puts himself front and centre of books the whole time, particularly the non-fiction. He even cites himself, Norman did this, Norman that. But the book is, it's a great book if you're talking about a desert island, because it's a huge book, but it's fantastic. The Executioner's Song. And it's about Gary Gilmore, who was the first man executed after the... They stopped executions in 72, I think, and then they came back in 77. He was in Utah. He did not appeal after he got the death penalty.
He wanted to die.
He wanted to die. He'd spent an awful lot of his life in prison. The crimes he committed for the death penalty were horrendous. He murdered two people in cold blood. But what is brilliant about it is the also-rans of the American dream. Gilmore and those around him, his family and the whole thing. And Mailer has this tight, simple prose that's completely at odds with most of the stuff he does. And it's absolutely riveting kind of stuff. And it's real Americana stuff. And the second half of it then is, once he decides he's not going to appeal, the business comes in. The Eastern, they come from the East out to Utah and the West. And you have all the other side of America, the racket, the business of America being business and all that. But brilliant, brilliant book, you know. But he's bombastic normally, but he manages to hold on to himself in this one.
Look, thank you for coming in. Some fantastic reads there. And I hope people are keeping track of, because we've had some amazing books on the bookshelf in the last while.
When can we expect the next book from McClifford? Because you've written quite a few at this stage.
I wrote one kind of political book with journalists, it's probably long forgotten fellow now, about Bertie Ahern.
Was it?
That was his name.
Coleman,
you wrote two with that journalist. You forgot.
He's readily forget it. Coleman something was his name, wasn't it?
No. I have a book coming out in October. It's a kind of a sort of experimental thing. It's a J-orientated book. It's a memoir. Now, most people write a J-memoir, they have distinguished J careers. I'd nothing of the sort. But this is more a grassroots
thing. Well, it
spanned
the parishes of Donegal and Kerry and Cork.
And Dublin, Shane. Yeah, the whole lot of them. And it's called Dare I Long to Be.
Okay. Look forward to reading that, mate.
That'll go on the bookshelf too. Look, thank you very much for coming in to us. That is Mick Clifford.
Thanks very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.